Oh, I've heard about the lot of me.
Where are you from? The lot of you? Yeah, I'm the lot of you. Then we come together and have some kind of a peace treaty.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of me and a lot of you. We get together. You know what I'm saying? That'd be fun. That'd be fun. I don't want to give you just a little bit of me. Don't you want a lot of me?
I want a lot of you.
Don't you want a lot of me? Anybody that want a lot of me? I want a lot of you. I want a lot of you. I don't want too much. I just want all you have to give. More than, that's all. And that means all you have to give. So that's whatever you give right now is sufficient. Because this is what you have to give right now. Besides, you didn't come here for me to suck you dry. Did you? I haven't quite put it that way, but no, you came here. Being real is a scary thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like being real is scary when you just go, okay, I'm going to put me out here and I'm going to see what happens. You know, so I'm like putting my toe out in the room, you know, okay, I'm going to see him be me tonight and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But smiling faces, you know, it's a good sign. I'm learning how to be psychic, smiling faces. It's okay. So, I want to jump right in it. I thought about a very dramatic musical introduction, but I don't feel like it. Okay, so I remember one time I went up to Maryland to do a workshop, and I started doing the workshop, and about an hour in, I realized I had said everything I had to say. But I had a whole day ahead of me. And it's like, that's the weirdest thing. It's like, you could try to make yourself go on, but you really had all, you had said all you really had to say. So I was like, oh, wow, man, I got a whole day ahead. All I really got to say. And so I did the unthinkable. I said, oh, you know, I'm going to practice the chords, right? I said, this is really all I have to say. So I told myself, I really don't have nothing else to say to y'all. And we got a whole day ahead of us. So it's perfectly okay if, you know, you want your money back and everything. I give you your money back and everything. But I don't have anything else to say. And so why don't we just go out to lunch? So you know what happened?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted their money back, and everybody went out to lunch, and we had a great time hanging out the rest of the day. All because for that instance, I wasn't afraid to be completely honest, even though it seemed like it would be insane to say that to a group of people that's coming to see a workshop, and you've flown up to Maryland. Wow. You know, so it wasn't like you went around the corner. It wasn't like this is Boulder.
Yes.
You know, and so I love this book because every time I do what the Course in Miracles says, everything turns out all right for me. I love this. To me, that's such a cool relationship to have with something, you know. So let's see if we can get a little bit more of it tonight and see what happens. Let's see if we can go deeper tonight than we've ever gone before. You want to try?
Yes.
Okay, let's see what we can do. All right. See how many more of you I can get rid of. I'm going to read the course to you.
Okay.
Oh,
I like that.
Where are you? I'm on page 168. I love this. I love this. This is deep. I'm going to see if I can get this out of me. Okay. The part of you that doesn't love you has a plan of forgiveness. The part of you that doesn't love you, it has a plan for forgiveness. That's the ego. Because you're asking for a plan. You're asking for a plan to have to be happy, but you're not asking of the right teacher. you're asking the part of you to teach you how to be happy that's the part of you that doesn't like you. So you're asking the part of you that doesn't like you to give you a plan for happiness. You're asking the part of you that doesn't like you for a plan for happiness. And the plan of the part of you that doesn't like you doesn't make sense and it won't work. So any plan that you come up with that's coming from the part of you that doesn't like you, that plan will not work. Anytime the part of you that doesn't like you come up with a plan for you, it is a plan that won't work. So whatever you're trying to do to hurt yourself in any way, it won't work. Whatever you're trying to do to stop your happiness or stop your peace, it won't work. Whatever you're trying to do to keep you from feeling good about yourself all the time, it won't work. It won't work. It won't work. Everything you're trying to do that makes you unhappy won't work. It won't work. Everything that you're trying to do to make yourself unhappy won't work. It will not succeed. You will not succeed at doing anything that's coming from the part of you that doesn't like you. Anytime it's the part of you that doesn't like you that tries to do anything, the universe will set it up where it will not work. It won't work. It won't work. It won't. So I don't care how hard you're trying to be broke. I don't care how hard you're trying to be alone. I don't care how hard you're trying to be angry. It won't work. 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 It won't work.
You'd think that'd be obvious by now.
Well, Grandpa, it is obvious when you want it. What? Yes, my son. You will see it when you want it. What? You will see it when you want it. When you really want it, you will see it. If you don't see it, you don't really want it. Okay. All right. Let's go deeper, y'all. You ready to go deeper? Would y'all please say go deeper?
Go deeper. Go deeper. Longer.
Longer. Okay. That would have been great on a radio show. I'll say it again. With the course, what'll blow your mind is when I repeat something over and over and over again. Watch it gets almost trippy. The part of you that doesn't love you, its plan won't work. So you can always tell when you're following a plan that's coming from the part of you that don't like you. You can always tell when you're following a plan that's coming from the self that doesn't like you. Because if your plan is coming from the you that doesn't like you, you would merely place yourself in an impossible situation. The part of you that doesn't love you always leads you to impossible situations. You'll say something like, "This is an impossible situation." So whenever you're following the plan of the part of you that doesn't like you, you can always tell because you will be saying to yourself, "This is an impossible situation." So here is the plan of the part of you that doesn't like you. Would you like to know what the plan is for the part of you that doesn't like you so that you won't do it? Would you like to know what the plan is of the part of you that doesn't like you so you can keep it from doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. The plan is to have you see error clearly first. Now, the first thing I want you to do, Earl, is I want you to see what the person is doing wrong very clearly. Be very clear about what's wrong. That's the first stage of the wrong plan. So are you pretty clear about what's wrong in your life?
Yeah.
Are you pretty clear about what's wrong in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're following the wrong plan. Because if you were following the right plan, you'd be overlooking everything that upsets you. If you were following the right plan, you would be overlooking everything that upsets you. But how are you going to overlook something that you made real? How are you going to overlook something that you made real? How can you overlook something that you made real? If you're making it real, how can you overlook it? How can you overlook? So let me give you a little. Let me give you what I'm talking about. By seeing the error clearly, by seeing the thing you think upsets you clearly, by seeing the problem clearly, you are making the problem real. And the more clearly you see your problem, you can't overlook it. You can't overlook what you're focusing on. You can't overlook what you're focusing on. So the wrong plan is for you to see the mistake clearly, make it real, and then can't even overlook it. But this is where the wrong plan is forced to appeal to mysteries. In other words, now you're going to insist. You're going to insist that you must accept something meaningless to save yourself. So you're going to come up with something that the world tells you that you're going to have to accept that's totally meaningless to save yourself. Like, you know, like you go to hell. So you got to accept the meaningless to save yourself. Many have tried to accept the meaningless to save themselves in the name of Jesus, forgetting that my words made perfect sense because my words came from God. They made perfect sense. The words that I shared are just as sensible now as they were ever. Because I'm telling you about ideas that are eternal, and if ideas are eternal, that means it's always the same all the time. So you got to be hearing the same truth that everybody else has, and nothing that you do to make yourself unhappy is going to work. Nothing that you do to try to make yourself alone or guilty or bad is going to work. No level of pain that you try to lure upon yourself will ever work.
Alright.
Now, forgiveness that's learned of me doesn't use fear to undo fear. I'm not going to use fear to undo your fear. I'm not going to use fear to undo your fear. I'm not going to make your fears real. I'm not going to make your fears real and then try to destroy your fears. I'm not going to make your fears real and then try to destroy your fears. Forgiveness, which is healing that comes through your right mind, that kind of healing lies simply in looking beyond the error from the beginning. If you will look beyond the mistake from the very beginning, it will keep it unreal for you. Looking beyond the mistake at the very beginning will keep it unreal for you. If you look beyond the error from the very beginning, it will keep it unreal for you. If you look beyond the lack from the very beginning, that will keep lack unreal for you. Don't let any belief in its realness enter your mind. Because if you believe that your problem is real, then you're going to believe that you've got to undo what you've made in order to be forgiven. You think you've got to undo what you've made in order to be forgiven. But what has no effect doesn't exist. What has no effect doesn't exist. And so to the loving mind, to the Holy Spirit, to your real self, the effects of your mistakes are non-existent. The effects of your mistakes are non-existent. The effects of your error are non-existent. The effects of your mistakes are non-existent. The effects of your error are non-existent. By steadily and consistently canceling out the effects of all of your mistakes everywhere and in all respects, the Holy Spirit teaches you that your ego doesn't exist, that your plan to hurt yourself doesn't exist, that you are not loved, that plan doesn't exist. So the Holy Spirit proves that you are loved by steadily and consistently canceling out all of the effects of all of your mistakes anywhere that you express them and in all respects. That's how love is going to teach you that your guilt and fear doesn't exist. Is going to prove it to you. Every time you try to hurt yourself in any way, the effect of that is going to be canceled out everywhere and in all respects. No matter what you try to do, it's going to be canceled out. The results of it is going to be canceled out everywhere in all respects. No matter what you do to try to hurt yourself in any way, no matter what mistake you make, the effects of that mistake is going to be canceled out everywhere in all respects. And that's how you're going to be shown that you're not doing anything wrong. Woo! Wait a minute. So forgiveness, follow the Holy Spirit's teaching in forgiveness, because forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's function, and that means your loving right mind knows how to fulfill its function perfectly. The part of you that knows how to love you knows how to do it perfectly. The part of you that knows you deserve love knows how to give you love perfectly. This is what I meant when I said that miracles are natural. When miracles don't occur, something's gone wrong. If miracles are not happening in your life, something has gone wrong, because miracles are natural. Corrections and healings are natural. When you don't have a correction, when you don't have a healing, that means something has gone wrong. For some of you, something's gone wrong. for some of you, something has gone wrong. For some of you, something has gone wrong. You don't see healing as natural. That means something has gone wrong. So whenever you experience a miracle, it's nothing but a sign of your willingness to follow love's plan for your happiness. Miracles are just a sign of your willingness to follow love's plan for your happiness. Now, how do you follow God's plan for your happiness? That's a great question. How do you follow God's plan for your happiness? You do it by recognizing you don't understand what the plan is. So your job is to recognize that you don't understand what the plan is. So we were just told, you know what, y'all don't understand what the plan is. You do not understand what the plan is. If you want to really get to where you want to go right now, the course is we need to understand that we need to be able to tell ourselves that we don't understand what the plan is. And so if you would admit that you don't understand what the plan is for your life, you will then have a miracle. If you were to admit that you don't have the slightest idea what the real plan is, then we would be given a healing. If we would just be willing to admit we don't know a damn thing about what's really going on, the Course says you'll be healed. It's kind of funny when you think about it. Admit that you don't know nothing about anything that's going on, and then you'll be healed. No! I know everything. I know what's wrong. I know who's to blame. He said, just admit you don't know, and you'll have a healing. No! I got a plan. So then, the Course in Miracles is really funny when you hear it correctly. Then it says, God's work is not your function. God's work is not your function. I don't have to tell you, boys and girls, but God's work is not your function. And if you were to realize that God's work is not your function, I could teach you what your function is. You really don't have a function, but you snatched God's function. And since you snatched God's function, I can't teach you what your function is. Guess that's what it just said.
That's what it said.
And then it says, the confusion of functions is so typical of the part of the mind that's insane that you should be quite familiar with having confusion of functions. Don't y'all have confusion of functions? I don't know what to do. What do you mean he has confusion of function? That sounds cool. You walk up to somebody in the bar. What's wrong with you today? I'm having confusion of function. I've never heard anything like that before. So let me give you a drink. You're going to be a good day.
Well, don't worry about confusing the functions, little darling. I got a function just waiting for you.
You don't have a function, I got a function. That's what we are, aren't we? Don't we just give everybody functions in our lives? Don't we? Assign roles to them, and then functions to them, and then if they don't act out the function that we assigned to them, we said we've been betrayed.
Yeah.
That's a great con, isn't it? Isn't that a great con? I get you to do what's best for me and make you feel guilty about not doing it. This is great, con.
I feel guilty for not letting you take advantage of me.
Oh, man, this is a fun place. Don't y'all have fun?
Yeah.
Y'all having fun? Y'all still? Everybody having fun in their life? I don't believe this.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, as long as you... Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the basics. If you willing to admit that you don't know what your function is, you could have a healing tonight. If you willing to admit that you don't know what your function is, being confused about our function should be so typical to us that we should be pretty familiar with that by now. He said, now the part of you that doesn't know anything, called the part with the Social Security number. The part of you that doesn't know anything believes that all functions belong to it, even though it has no idea what they are. So in other words, you believe you got to do everything, but you don't even know what everything is you got to do. You believe you got to do everything, but you really don't even know what it is you believe you got to do. What is doing everything? What does that mean? So the Course says, this is more than mere confusion. So you think you're confused? You're more than confused. The Course says, you're more than confused. You're doing a particularly dangerous combination of grandiosity and confused. You're grandiose and you're confused. So since you're confused and grandiose, you're just likely to attack anyone and anything for no reason at all. So if you attack anyone,
anyone or anything for no reason at all. You're dealing with a person that's a combination of grandiosity and confusion. So that's their name. Grandiosity and confusion. You got to be on the lookout for them because they could come to you in different bodies. But their name is what? Grandiosity and confusion. Now they're on the most wanted list. So be on the lookout for grandiosity and confusion. Now how can you tell when you are in the presence of grandiosity and confusion? Well, if you're in the presence of grandiosity and confusion, you're just attacking anyone for no reason at all. So if you're just going off on people for no reason at all, you are grandiose and confused. Also, stop believing you got to do everything and you don't know what everything is that has to be done. Stop pretending that you got to do everything. Stop pretending that you have 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 to do everything. Woo! Woo! This is exactly what the part of the mind that doesn't know what it is does. When you and the part of you that doesn't know, it's unpredictable in its responses because it has no idea what it perceives. Okay, the reason why you cannot predict how other people are going to respond is because nobody has any idea of what they're looking at. I'll say this again. The Course in Miracles says, is everybody listening around? Okay, the Course just says, you don't have no idea what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. We're looking at each other, but we don't have no idea about what we're really looking at. You really don't know what you're looking at. I hate to tell you this, but you really don't know what you're looking at. 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 And so since you don't know what you're looking at, then I could be very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Okay? Since you don't know what you're looking at, I can be very unpredictable in my response. I might act in ways that you might not expect because you don't even know what you're looking at. That's so damn bushy red. Have you ever heard say this kind of stuff that I'm telling y'all tonight? Some people feel that they're like, what the hell is he saying? What is he talking about? But then they're captivated. It don't make no sense, but I want to hear it. If you have no idea what's happening, if you have no idea what's happening, how appropriately can you expect to react?
That's right.
If you don't have no idea about what's happening, how can you know the right way to react? Mm-hmm. So you don't really know the right way to react because you don't really know what's happening. So, you might ask yourself, regardless of how you may account for the reaction, whether your ego's unpredictability places your ego in the same position as your guide. Since the part of you that is guiding you is completely unpredictable, why would you want to have it as your guide? So why are you listening to a guide that's not predictable? Why would you follow a guide who goes, let's go down this path today? No, let's go down this other one. And they say, no, let me take you back over to the unpredictable guide. You can't trust them because you never know what they're going to do. The Course is saying, don't you want to stop being guided by the part of you that doesn't know what to do? Don't you want to stop being guided by the part of you that says, I don't know what to do? Mm-hmm. The part of you that says, I don't know what to do. Stop following its guidance. Your leader has called. What's your leader's name? I don't know what to do. Take it to your leader. What's his name? I don't know what to do. Well, take it to the technical. I don't know what to do. Do you want a guy that doesn't know? I've hired you to take me through Africa. I'm ready to go. Well, I don't know what to do. What kind of guy would that be? What? I don't know what to do. So the part of you that doesn't know what to do is not the part of you that should be guiding you. Stop listening to the part of you that don't know what to do. Let's see what else it says. Let me repeat. You know, like this. When Jesus said, he's going to lower the boom on you. Let me repeat that the part of you that doesn't love you, its qualifications as a guide are singularly unfortunate. Your spiritual guide has unfortunate qualifications. The guide you've been following has unfortunate qualifications. Your guide has unfortunate
qualifications. Isn't that horrible that the course would say this to us? I hadn't thought about that. That I was like go inside to get my guide, but never realized he could be unqualified. So the course says we've been choosing unqualified guides who are unpredictable in their responses, who always lead us into situations that seem impossible. He said, that's how you can tell you're listening to the wrong guide. You're going, I don't know what to do. This is some deep stuff, man. Elevator star, this is a remarkably poor choice. Of course, don't say you just have poor choices. Of course, says you have remarkably poor choice. Your choices are just remarkably poor. I mean, they're just poor beyond any poor I've ever seen. This is a remarkable error. I just made a remarkable mistake. Isn't that funny? And the court says, anybody who elects a totally insane guy must be totally insane himself.
What are you crazy in here?
He says, nor is it true that you don't realize the guy is insane. You realize your guy is insane. You realize, he said, don't you realize your guy is insane? You can't just about sitting y'all down in the room and going, hello, everybody.
Hello.
We just want to inform you that you have some unfortunately qualified guys who are totally insane. We're sorry about that, but you do. You have so we've been called into the room so Spirit can tell us. You're listening to insane guides. You're following insane guidance. Hello, people in this room. You're following insane guidance. How can you tell? It leads you in a situation that you feel is impossible, that you feel like you don't know what to do, and everything is unpredictable, and you don't really know what's going to happen to you, and you don't know what nothing means. If you're in that kind of a reality, you've been following an insane guide. They're totally unqualified. It got bad credit. Only two guys unqualified. Two guys got bad credit. Let's see what else this funny book has to say. Then it goes on to say, anybody who elects a totally insane guide must be totally insane himself. Nor is it true that you don't realize the guide is insane. You realize your guide is insane because I realize your guide is insane. You have judged your guide by the same standard I have. So really your insanity literally lives on borrowed time. Your crazy self, it literally lives on borrowed time. Your crazy, that's why you got so many loans you got to pay back. What are you doing? I'm living on borrowed time. Only the course would say you were living on borrowed time. He says, the part of you that's fear, that's the ego. The part of you that's afraid and separate, that's the ego. He says it literally lives on borrowed time. And your unhappiness, its days are numbered. Do not fear the last judgment. What? Do not fear the last judgment. I want you to welcome the last judgment. Don't wait, because your fear's time is borrowed from your eternity. This is the second coming that was made for you as the first was created. The second coming is merely the return of sense. I love that line. What is the second coming? It's the return of your sense. What? I thought it was something more dramatic than that. The Course says no. The second coming is nothing but our common sense coming back again. That's the second coming of Christ. Is my common sense coming back? Did you see the joke of that? What is the second coming? You're having some common sense. That's the second coming. Isn't that funny when you think about it? What's the second coming? You having some sense. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so glad God, you know, really cared about those souls in the little red school buses like us. Nobody left behind. Just like my brother Bush said, nobody left behind. We probably let nobody left behind. That's us. I thought they were talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were talking about me, but what's that program? Nobody Left Behind?
Yeah.
No Child Left Behind.
No Child Left Behind. If you don't tell me that's not a holy title, that's a holy purpose. No Child Left Behind. That includes us.
Yeah.
None of us are going to be left behind. None of us are going to be left out of happiness. None of us are going to be left out of joy. None of us. None of us. Yeah. Wow, I feel good to be able to say that in public.
Great bumper sticker that I'm guessing that's
yours.
Mmm.
So what is the second coming, gang? It's the return of what? The return of our common sense. Now, the last question in this paragraph is a beauty. It says, can this possibly be fearful? You know, is the idea of returning to your common sense frightening? Is the idea of returning to your common sense frightening? Is it? Is the idea of you being happy again, is it frightening? Is the idea of you having what you want all the time, is it frightening? That's a great question. That's a great question. He says, what can be fearful but fantasy? He says, what's frightening is fantasy. What's frightening is fantasy. And who turns to fantasy unless they despair of finding satisfaction to reality? And that's so deep. Let me say that one more time. That's one of those Course in Miracles statements that's so deep, it's deeper than your deep. Okay? I'm going to say it again. The only reason why you have a fantasy is because you don't like your reality. The only reason why you have fantasies is because you don't like your reality. That's what he just told us. That people who are sitting around imagining stuff all the time got to be people who are unsatisfied with where they are. So he's telling me, which is so deep, that that's what's frightening me are my fantasies. Because my fantasies are coming from me believing that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with my life or something that's not satisfying about my life. So my fantasies are coming from fear. Mm-hmm. Yet it is certain that you will never find satisfaction in fantasy. You will never be satisfied with the fantasy of satisfaction. You'll never be satisfied with the fantasy of satisfaction. You'll never be satisfied with the fantasy of satisfaction. So what you got to do, you got to change your mind about what reality is. You got to change your mind about what reality is. Only if the decision that reality is frightening is wrong can God be right. You got to let go of your belief that your reality is frightening. Your reality isn't frightening. It is your fantasies that are frightening you. It's what is not real that frightens. If it's not real, it frightens you. So if you're feeling fear right now, that is the proof that what you are afraid of isn't real. Your fear is the proof that what you are afraid of isn't real. Your fear is the proof that what you are afraid of isn't real. Because reality could never, ever frighten you. Nothing in reality could ever, ever hurt you. So the mere fact that you have a fear means it's not real. There is no fear that is real. So whenever you have a fear, you're going to make something not real. So from now on, every time you're afraid, if the energy behind your fear is going to be an energy that makes the thing that you are afraid of go away. Okay, I'll say it again. It works from here. The premise is what is real and what is reality would never be something that would make you afraid and would never be something that would hurt you. Okay, you say, make the decision right now that if it's reality, reality would never hurt you. That love would never hurt you. You got to make the decision that love would never hurt you. That reality would never hurt you. And once you know that, then you realize that every time you feel fear, you must be telling yourself something that's not real. So your fear begins to get rid of everything that makes you afraid. Don't you want your fear to make everything that makes you afraid leave?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a great purpose for your fear?
Yes.
Especially if you know you feel fear or you know you feel wary.
You know you do. You know you worry about things during the day and wonder about things during the day. So what you do now is, since you know reality would never make you weary, reality would never make you afraid, so that means if you're feeling something beside that, if you're feeling that fear, that is your proof that what you are afraid of isn't real. And so when you take your fears and you go, this is the proof that my fear isn't real. What? My fear. This is the proof that my anger isn't real. What? My anger. Because now my anger is going to get rid of everything that causes me anger. Why? Because God didn't create an angry reality. So any kind of anger must be coming from some fantasy, something that's not real.
Yeah. That's deep.
Is that deep?
That is deep.
What I just say? Anybody can say anything to me I said at all.
You get rid of fear.
What if I'm afraid now, what?
It's not real.
Okay.
It's not real.
Okay, do you so get
aware of things that helps you get rid of.
Okay, so you get that if reality is total peace,
yeah,
then anything that's not total peace has got to be something that's not coming from reality.
Right.
So where is it coming from? Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why fantasies are fearful. They're not based on anything real. None of your fantasies are based on anything real. Fantasies is just you trying to satisfy yourself according to false needs that you're making up. Mm-hmm. Fantasies is just me trying to satisfy myself according to false needs that I made up. I fantasized that I needed to do this, and I fantasized that I needed to do that. So my fantasies are nothing but false needs that I'm making up to satisfy myself. So I'm really putting my own self to work. You come up with something that's missing, and then you assign yourself the quest to finding it. Don't you see how you're just working yourself to death? Just being in the moment enjoying myself. No, I've got to come up with a fantasy of something that's missing so that I got to fulfill. And I spend a whole day trying to do it, and then I wonder why I'm so tired at the end of the day. What you been doing out here, honey? I've been trying to satisfy myself according to false needs all day. I've come up with stuff I think I need that I don't really need, that I don't know how to get, and I'm trying to get it, and I'm tired. Whenever it's unreal, you always have to work for it. Whenever it's unreal, you always have to work for it. You always have to work for stuff that's not real. Anything that's real, you don't have to work for. Didn't that scare some of y'all to hear that? When that opposite to everything you've been taught? Some of us it is. Okay, I'm going to read again, which is more deadly than me talking. It's only if the decision that reality is fearful is wrong can God be right. And I assure you that God is right. Between the two of y'all, I don't know how to break it to you, but God is the one that's right. You got this little argument going between you and higher self? Well, higher self is right. So be glad then. He says, be glad that you've been wrong. Be glad that you have been wrong. Be glad that you've been wrong, but you were wrong only because you didn't know who you are. Who you are. You've only been wrong because you didn't know who you were. You've only been wrong because you don't know who you were. Had you really known how cool you really are, you couldn't have no more been wrong than God can. So as soon as you recognize what you are, you will no longer be wrong. As soon as you recognize what you are, you will no longer be wrong. If you have any kind of sense of wrong, as soon as you recognize what you are, you won't have any more sense of being wrong. So the way you can tell when you truly don't recognize who you are, how you can tell when you truly awakened, is that you will not think you're wrong the way you are. As long as you think you're wrong the way you are, then you know you haven't recognized who you are. So you haven't recognized who you are because you think you're wrong. As long as you think you're wrong, it means you don't recognize who you are because you are right. That's deep, ain't it?
As long as you think you're wrong, you can't know you're right. The impossible can happen only in fantasy. As long as you keep on searching for what's real in your fantasies, you won't find it. If you keep on searching for what's real where it's not, you won't find it. If you keep on searching for what you want where it isn't, you won't find it. If you keep on searching for what you want where it isn't, you won't find it. If you keep looking in the wrong place, you will not find it. If you keep looking in the wrong place, you will not find it. If you keep looking in the wrong place, you will not find it. And there's a lot of symbols of fantasy to the unhappy man. And you're going to find a lot of fantasies in your unhappy man. But don't look for any meaning in the fantasies that you have in your unhappy man. Because your fantasies have no more meaning than the fantasies into which your fantasies were woven. Fairy tales can be pleasant, or fairy tales can be frightening, but no one calls fairy tales true. Fairy tales can be pleasant. In other words, your life could be a pleasant fairy tale, or your life could be a fearful fairy tale, but nobody's going to call what you're going through true. So you might be having a happy fairy tale right now. Happy fairy tale to you. Until we meet again. Happy fairy tale to you. Keep smiling on me. So how many of you all are having a pleasant fairy tale right now? Pleasant fairy tale? Okay. How many of you, if it's okay, it's cool, don't be ashamed. How many of you are having a fearful fairy tale? How many of you are having a pleasant fairy tale? And let me know when the whole room gets honest. You know what I'm saying? That's when everybody clapping. Uh-huh. We're having both of them. But they're not true. The love that you had for somebody that was a fairy tale didn't last. Fairy tale love don't last. Fairy tale love. I want some fairy tale. I don't care. I want some fairy tale love. That sounds perverted when you think about it, don't it? Fairy tale love. Oh my God, they're gonna outlaw that pretty soon. Yeah, you can't have no fairy tale love. I'm going to tell you the truth, that's the only kind of love you have until you know who you are. Until you know who you are, no love that you have will ever last. Because the system is set up where nothing but what's real can last. So that means every time we come up with anything that's not really what would be the best thing for us, if the system is built so that whatever that is, it won't last. So every time you do anything that could hurt you, it won't last. Now, what kind of thought would that be to have in your mind? To be walking around all day going, anything that would hurt me wouldn't last. That would be one of the most powerful thoughts you could move through the day with. Nothing that would hurt me would last. Whew, that's instantaneous healing from any situation that would hurt you. Because you've set up in your mind, anything that would hurt me will not last. So you get scared because you think that's most of the people you know. Sometimes you go, oh, I'm going to be a mass murderer. If nothing that hurts me can last, and I feel like I'm being hurt by so many things and so many people around me, it seems like if that's true, everything that I know will end. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm afraid of this.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it sounds like it's going to get rid of everything that I know. Mm-hmm. When it says it's going to get rid of what's not permanent. And I don't want to let go of the temporary to have the eternal. I'm much better off having the stuff that I can't count on that's predictable and that won't last than I would be to have something that's eternal that never ends and just increases. This is not fair. This is a tough choice. The thing that never lasts is unpredictable, or the thing that I can have forever no matter what that grows bigger and bigger and bigger. Which one of those do I want to have? Children may believe in their fairy tales, and so for a while, the tales are true for the children. You believe in your fairy tales, so I know this looks like everything that's happening in your life is true for you.
But when reality dawns, all of your fantasies of fear are gone. When you recognize the truth, all of your fantasies are gone. When you recognize the truth, all your fantasies of fear are gone. Reality hasn't gone in the meanwhile. While you're going through your fantasies of fear, reality hasn't gone in the meantime. The second coming is the awareness of reality, not its return. The second coming just means you once again become aware of what's real. It's not going to return. It never went anywhere. What's real hasn't gone anywhere. When you have the second coming, you're just going to become aware of the love that's already here for you. When you become aware, you're just going to become aware of all the good things that are already here for you. The second coming just means you're going to become aware of all the wonderful things that are already here for you. The second coming means you're going to become aware of all the wonderful things that are here for you. The second coming just means you're going to become aware of all the incredible things that are here in reality for you right now. So I want you to behold, my child. Reality is here. Reality belongs to you and me and God. If it's reality, it's perfectly satisfying to all of us. Whatever is real is always something that's completely satisfying to all of us. It's not real until it's completely satisfying to all of us. It's not real unless it's completely satisfying to all of us. And anything that's not completely satisfying to all of us is something that is not real. So anything that's not satisfying to all of us is not real. Anything that's not satisfying to you is not real. Anything that's unsatisfying to you is not real. The only awareness that heals is for you to have the awareness that you want something that's completely satisfying to all of us. As soon as you say, I want what is completely satisfying to all of us, you will have a healing. As soon as you ask for something that's satisfying completely for all of us, we have to just ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. I ask for complete satisfaction for all of us. That is the awareness that heals. That is the awareness of the truth. You are aware of the truth when you want complete satisfaction for all of us. When you really want everybody to have complete satisfaction, including yourself, including yourself, including yourself, including yourself, including yourself, including yourself. As soon as you want yourself to have complete satisfaction, then you have an awareness of the truth and you are healed. As soon as you want yourself to have complete satisfaction and want everybody else to have a reality that's completely satisfying, in that awareness, you have the awareness of the truth, and you will heal. 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 The unhealed healer. That's an interesting title. So, what did y'all think about that? Any thoughts about that? That was deep. That was deep. That was real deep, wasn't it?
Yes.
I just can't stand books that tell me that I deserve complete satisfaction and everybody else deserves complete satisfaction too. That's tough. It's hard for me to hear a book that says every time I have a worry, the thing that I worry about is going to go away. That's tough. To be told that the plan is that there's nothing I can do that could ever be such a bad mistake that I would suffer forever is a mistake, and that's hard for me to hear. I don't want to hear that I can't make a mistake that can't be corrected. For some reason, I want to believe I can make a mistake that I can never be forgiven for.
complete opposite of what we were taught. To believe that we couldn't make a mistake. We're taught all the time we can.
Yeah. Okay, and you know what's cool about what you just said? It's not like the course didn't say we could make a mistake. It said that we couldn't make a mistake that hadn't already been corrected.
Okay.
See, that's the mistake we make. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a mistake. I will not take your mistakes away. Okay, you can keep your mistakes. Okay, don't think I'm trying to take your mistakes away. Okay, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want y'all to think I was trying to take y'all's mistakes away. Okay. But the course. But I would like to tell you that there's no mistake that you can make that's not going to be corrected and it's not going to be healed. I don't care what you think the mistake is. Whatever you think the mistake is going to be corrected. Even if the mistake was even that something is extreme, is what we would call murder. That mistake would still be corrected. That mistake would still be corrected. There's no such thing as a mistake that can't be corrected. There's no such thing as a mistake that can't be corrected. There's no such thing as a mistake that can't be corrected. There's no such thing as a mistake. Now, what is sin? What is sin? Sin is nothing but having the belief that you could make a mistake that couldn't be corrected. That's all the sin is. It's you saying, I've made some mistake that's so bad that it could never be healed, it could never be corrected. I've done something so wrong that it could never be healed, it could never be corrected. The Course in Miracles says that's what a sin is. It's the belief that you could make a mistake that you could suffer from forever. That's what the belief in sin is. So when a person says, I believe in sin, they're saying, I believe in mistakes that can never be corrected. I'm a sinner. I believe in mistakes that can never be corrected. I believe things can't really change for the better. I believe that I can't have all my problems disappear. That is the sinner. That is what is meant by the term sinner. It's somebody that won't let themselves be healed. Because they want their mistakes to be real.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they aren't. That there's not anything you're feeling guilty about that can't be corrected. There's not anything that you feel guilty about that can't be corrected. There's nothing that you feel bad about that can't be healed. There's nothing you think you've done that can't be healed. He says, that's what we need to tell each other. That's what we need to hear. That's why I always tell y'all that this is a class on remembering. It's not a class about figuring it out. It slows us down. Trying to figure this stuff out. But what speeds us along is for me to tell you, whatever fear that you have is going to get rid of whatever is making you afraid. Your anger is going to get rid of whatever makes you feel angry. Because that's not the same as getting rid of the person. It's just getting rid of what's separating you from them. And keeping you from liking each other and loving each other. You're not getting rid of the person when you get rid of the problem. I used to think the person was the problem. So the answer to the problem was to get rid of the person. Anybody else feel that way? How many of y'all got rid of people? Now, come on, tell the truth. At some point in your life, you got rid of somebody. Because you thought what? You thought they were the problem.
Yeah.
So the Course is saying no.